Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Reignite Your Soul podcast, where we are opening our hearts, expanding our minds to an entirely new way of being. My name is Laura Plahuta, and I am your host here on the podcast. And I am very excited to have a very dear friend of mine, Carrie Gregson, here, who is an adventure coach and a soul mountain guide, among many, many other things, which I will share a little bit more about. She's a master adventure coach, mountain soul hiking guide, the chief adventure officer of Alpenbox. She's a yoga teacher, a personal trainer of almost 30 years, and fitness teacher of 35 years, an ultra mountain runner, a 9 times transalpine run finisher, an Everest base camp climber, and also has climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and numerous other peaks across the Alps and in Europe and everywhere. And she's an incredible friend of mine and very inspiring when it comes to really going on adventure. And we've had some pretty amazing conversations and just deep conversations around how being out in nature and going on adventures really are not just an outward exploration, but also a lot of the time, most of the time, an inward exploration as well. So we came on here to really just have a conversation that hopefully inspires you guys to be able to really dive more into your own adventure, both inside and out, and to embrace those challenges, because I know life can get challenging sometimes. And sometimes, you know, Carrie and I were chatting about this before, it can be all consuming where we kind of get into those spaces, and nature and adventure really is one of those things that when we make that decision to make it a priority, it can really snap us into change in such a big, beautiful way. So very excited to have you here today, Carrie.
Oh, I love that intro. Love that intro. Thank you for that intro.
You're welcome. I'm super stoked to have you here and also to learn more about your story as well, because I don't know everything about your story. So I guess to start off, would you be open to sharing a little bit more about kind of how you got into adventure and into nature and just like really using that as this kind of personal growth for yourself?
Yeah, I love how you said that. It's in some cases of my life, I've been pulled there for the adventure, for the travel, for the wanting to see other lands. Mm-hmm. And another part of my life, I've been pulled there for the internal, because something bigger was mm-hmm. pulling me there, something I needed to heal. I felt lost. I felt I wasn't on my own footing. And then right away, it's like, I have to go to the mountains. It's not even a discussion. It's a automatic. It's mm-hmm. like an entity pulling me for healing. So I've been going to the mountains since when I first did my back. Everyone does their backpacking trip all around Europe. Well, back in the day when in the 90s, when was it the 90s? Yeah. It was kind of the trend to do that at 20, 21 years old, to go to Europe backpacking, get one of the unlimited passes on the train and do it as cheap as possible, sleep on the train, pop on and off on the train, sleep in train station. So that was a huge adventure in my life. And that was 2.5 months at 20 years old. And I was introduced to the Alps. It was the first time in the Alps then. But it wasn't just the Alps, was just a part of it. But when I came back from that trip, it felt like I had been through 5-6 years of school.
Mm. Like, did you do this one alone, Carrie?
I went alone. Mm-hmm. But there was another couple guys that went with me that I knew not so well, but they went with me. But then after 2 weeks, we separated. And then I met another two guys. And after 2 weeks, we separated. 2 weeks was the magic number.
Right.
And I did portions of it with people and portions of it on my own, never truly on my own. But I had that since I was young, that craving for exploration, for like as a teenager, young teenager, I was reserved, the goody girl, quiet, scared at times. And I broke out of that into rebel, went to the opposite end. And I really still got off the rock, out of balance. And then I found I was pulled to travel, which really brought me to where I am today. It was that desire for travel at a young age. Mm-hmm. I listened to it. And that first trip, 2.5 months, was real adventure. Like, we're sleeping in fields in a Greek island, not knowing where we're going to wake up to in the morning. So it was a real discovery process.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I learned it's the Alps. What part of this did I love the most? Oh, it's the Alps. So I said, I'm going to live in the Alps for a year.
Mm.
And so 3 years later, yeah, I think 3 years later, I came back. So I went out working to build enough money to be able to do this and leave for a year, because I knew, this is at 23, I had to live there for a year. And it was just a pull from such a young age. And so I went there for another 3 month adventure, backpacking, Kentucky, this, that, everywhere, and checked out all the places, was like kind of like an investigator, where is going to be the place that's in the mountains. I had this clear picture back then when we never talked about manifestation, never talked about law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had this crystal clear picture of mountain village, walk out the door, mountains in front of me, close enough to a city that I can work in a fitness center. It was very clear. And it was like, I was not stopping until I was going there. So I ended up in Austria. I ended up, it was going to be the Swiss Alps or Bavarian Alps, but I ended up in Austria. And with a lot of hiccups, and even meeting a man that kind of pulled me out of that dream, but then I had to come back to that dream. And I ended up in a village that was very close to the picture that was painted in my head. And the really cool thing is I'm sitting here 30 years later in that same village.
Crazy.
So that village at 23, so like 29 years later, I lived as an au pair here and learned the language and got in with the locals, because part of me knew this would be my home. It was like a second home.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 29 years later, I live right across the street from where I was au pair.
Wow.
And so it's interesting. The universe can be funny and humorous, because it really brought me back to that same core spot. And there's a million places in the Alps. So that's how my journey first being in the Alps and being pulled here,
mm-hmm.
for a bigger reason than just climbing mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with eating disorder for many, many, many years. Even though I looked healthy out here,
mm-hmm.
it was a constant struggle on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And being a personal trainer and working in a gym full time, being by the mirrors was a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thought of going to the mountains, going to the best fitness center in the world, and just being in free nature, I knew internally this was a healing space for me, that I could just be in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was also a big part of it, right? On that beginning healing journey 29 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I've been pulled in various times for various reasons back and forth to the mountains. And in 2007, I reached another point. So this, I would have been 30, I was married, 35 or 34 at the time, and was really not in a good place mentally. And I was overworked, burnt out, but supposedly very fit.
Mm-hmm.
And the pull to go to Everest Base Camp was so strong that I had built up a personal training business over years. So I had my clients there, and I knew I had to leave this. And so I passed on all my clients to other trainers. I told my husband that I have to book a one-way ticket to Everest Base Camp. I can't say when I'm back, but I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know that feeling where you don't feel like you can give? Like, my cup was empty. I'm like, I'm going to do whatever I need to do here.
Yeah.
Even if I have to start at ground zero, I'm going there.
Yeah.
And that was so strong that I went to Mount Everest base camp. And I had to go to a new place. I had to go to a completely different place on my own. And when I'm feeling that discombobulated, the desire for the unknown is big. It's like to step into a totally new place, totally new people. And not in an escape mode, more in, okay, I just need to put myself in a different environment. I just need to shake up the system.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another big 6 months. I would call it the Eat, Pray, Love tour of discovery in all different ways in the mountains. And I mean, that, and I lived also in Austria for 6 months then. So that kind of was the tester to see if I'm going to stay and live in the mountains. But so whatever the mountains are, whether it's the Himalayas or the Alps or the Dolomites, it does something to you. You are bare naked with yourself and with other people too. And it's just raw. And I believe we are nature.
Yeah.
And we are a huge part of nature. And so it's the best way to get back to truth. It's the best way to get back to my own guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I'm dysregulated and fearful, I can get pulled into the outside world of what is good and what I need to do in that. And so I believe it's so important for people to remove themselves, whatever that may be, even if it's like an hour away from you, but to a different place, somewhere in nature, like preferably mountains, I say, and put yourself in there. Take a leap. Have a general plan, not a concrete plan.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've done that before.
Yeah.
And allow the tour to pull you along.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better way to reconnect than kind of get out of the unknown, but get out of the known,
yeah,
and go into an unknown area and feel the fear of being there and have to figure things out and the challenge of climbing the mountains too. So, I mean, I could go on, but ask if you want to ask specific questions about that, but that was the big trip for me, that 6 months while I was married.
And what were some of the challenges that came up for you throughout that 6 months, like when you were actually hiking, that like you feel like really like brought you immense growth that you needed on that trip?
Well, I felt like in that, my mid-30s, like a loss of identity. I felt like I'd lost who I was, and that through different things. And it was really throwing me off that sent me to the mountains. And the things that, many things, the people I met, and who's still a good friend today, my friend Cheryl Lowe, she helped me reignite a big part of my feminine essence that had been dampened for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a wildflower opening up
Mm-hmm.
that was dormant for so long. So there was that discovery. There was like, I dove into the Vipassana 10-day meditations because I was already doing extreme sport. I wanted to do the extreme sport of meditation.
Swing the opposite way. That's what I've
I'm
done.
Like, I'm like, how do I go into meditation? Well, let's do the Iron Man version.
Totally. So
let's do the 10 hours a day, 10 days of silence. I just give it to me. I want to do it all. So I'm just in this intense carry project mode.
Yeah.
Because that's all I knew back then. Like, it was like, there was the feeling something was wrong with me and I had to fix it. And so I learned the mountains, like I said, is bare naked. Like, it literally brings things raw to the surface. Whatever I was dealing with at home, I would still feel there. Like, I would still be triggered amongst other people. And it just but I couldn't run away with it from it. It's right there because I'm just climbing every day. No, I'm not doing my regular work. I learned through a 10-day meditate, two 10-day Vipassana meditations that the answer also wasn't there. I was pushing my way through finding the answer. And I realized that much later, but that was like, yeah, that wasn't the way also. And the mountains helped me discover that there isn't, we hear this a lot, there's nothing to fix. You're already a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. But it's more about what I'm ready to let go of. Because it's already there, all of the brilliance, the creativity is already there.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just so hidden that it's hard to get through the anxiety and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there were many things on that trip. If I'm someone that's meant to be married, I didn't think I was meant to be married.
It's proud of
like
everything,
am I going to be on my own for the rest of my life? Who's going to want to live with me? Free spirit who wants to travel all the time, but that's who I am.
Yeah,
and that's more standard now, but back then, this is 14 years ago, 15 years, no, 17 years ago, that it wasn't as typical back
mm-hmm.
then, right? It was
mm-hmm.
more like, what's she doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there was a lot. There was a lot I learned.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I resonate with a lot of your story. It's interesting. A few things that kind of stood out to me. There's a few things. The you being very fit and struggling with body image stuff. That's something that I struggled with a lot. I've always had abs. I've always been very fit. I've always been into athletics. And when I share that with people, that I struggled a lot, like with body image and like making myself vomit after like eating a lot in high school. Like, and it's interesting because when I was at that point in my life, I never even knew that there was something wrong with it. Cause it was just like literally just the way that I was. And it wasn't like excessive. So I didn't actually seek help for it. Right. So I didn't even really click in that this stuff was happening until I was started on this healing journey, even just the last couple of years. And going through all of that stuff, it's so interesting because I was just so used to having this, like, I was so hard on myself all the time, like this, like, very self-critical inner dialogue. And it's interesting when it comes to that, because it's like, I feel like there's a lot of, in like media and stuff, like there was quite a long time where skinny was very like praised and being fit was very praised. And then like, there was like kind of this like thing that like, if you were fit and if you were skinny, then you then didn't struggle also with like mental health or like the inner dialogue that was very critical because a lot of people perceived that you had what they wanted, right? And it's very interesting kind of like seeing that because everybody struggles like it's in one way or another, everybody does.
Everybody, and you, because you can't see behind. And I love that you brought that up, because what I learned, you were asking what I learned through all these years, is no matter what body I attained and what I thought would bring me the peace,
mm-hmm.
it didn't. At my fittest, most leanest, was one of the times I was struggling inside the most. And so I learned that it didn't come from that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that was my source of keeping control.
Mm-hmm.
So as a teenage, when I felt totally out of control, I struggled with a lot of OCD too. Very extreme OCD, and they're kind of linked, with the eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
The OCD rituals and compulsions were a way for me to like distract and control something I felt totally out of control of.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the eating disorder and the weight, it gave me something. Okay, at least I can get my hands on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least I can feel like I've got control over something.
Yeah.
When in actuality, not, but it's, And I mean, those things, I don't believe those parts of us necessarily completely, like completely vanish. I still have parts of my OCD now that I'm still working, that I didn't realize there's deeper layers.
Yeah, for sure.
Through and the work I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And even of the body image stuff, still I've worked, done a lot of healing on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what's happened. What's different now in my 50s is my reaction to everything has changed. Like it's changed. I'm not set off for 4 or 5 days. I'm set off maybe for an hour or a couple hours, and I can come back to compassion quickly. And the biggest thing I learned was, and this is what I put out also to my clients, is there's nothing more important than that we feel good. There's nothing more important than the relationship with yourself. Mm-hmm. As selfish as it is, be selfish.
Yeah.
Because only when you take care of this can I be present for another person.
Right, for sure. Yeah.
Can I be there and help another person?
Yeah.
And that's why I left on that 6 month tour.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't feel like I was being a wife. I'm not a good trainer for, if I'm given from a half empty cup, we're both, I don't think, not satisfied. Maybe they didn't notice it as much, but I couldn't, mm-hmm. I had to go give myself time, lose a lot of money doing it. And because that was number one for me, was to somehow get back to regulate, however long it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also learned it's not a thing that I'm going to get in 6 months from now, or I'm going to have it nailed in 5 months from now. It's like, how can I feel a little better than I do? And feel a little better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this wave of, and then there's newer levels and deeper levels. And that's why as an adventure coach, I love to go in, first of all, to climb with people out on these mountains, because it also unravels beautiful parts of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But also navigate the terrain in here, because it's so wild and erratic sometimes, and just like nature out there,
mm-hmm.
Just like the weather, just like when you're in the mountains, unexpected stuff comes up.
Mm-hmm.
How do I handle that? Navigating this like we would navigate out there, being curious, being playful, being, how can we be more not so serious with ourselves?
Yeah, I love that. And what are some of the things that you do to be able to kind of work through those inner triggers when they do come up? And I love that you shared as well that like it's a work in progress. I know even for myself, I have done like such a big transformation on that self-love journey and like really loving my physical body, because I'm like, these things are cool. These things allow us to do so much. Like they're so amazing. But even since being pregnant, Carrie, like it's been like so interesting being able to witness. Like now I'm like bumping my belly on like doors and like all of this stuff. And just like even like so many changes in my physical body. Like my breasts are so much bigger than they were before. Like my belly, like everything is so different. And it's been like, I can notice that my confidence in like my body has decreased from where it normally was. And just being able to be with myself throughout this process and just hold myself in love throughout it. It's like, it's been interesting to experience that, because I never would have anticipated with where I was before. Like I had just had so much love for it that I was like, that I love the changes it goes through when you're going through it. But then when you're actually moving through it, there's all of these old things that still kind of like come to the surface, and they're like, oh, you forgot about this little thing that's there. Right. So it's like we can like be in a good place, and all of a sudden life just brings us in something else to kind of go deeper into what we're experiencing. So I love that you share that, because we can think that we're kind of through something, and then next thing life brings us another layer to go even deeper. And I really do believe like life is that kind of that spiral of us continuing to learn and explore. And like what you shared about being able to like go into it with this like curious, playful mentality. Like I feel like for me, learning that, it is. Yeah, it totally is. And that piece is like, has been probably like learning how to get to that place of being curious and playful about things and not taking everything so seriously has probably been like the biggest shift in all of it, because then like it just opens up new possibilities. And I feel like I'm more open to be able to try new things, to be able to help me shift through things or saying yes to different things that maybe I would have been afraid to try for whatever reason or things like that. So for you, what are some of the things that you kind of use to be able to shift through when you have these triggers and activations come up with things?
Yes. Before I get into that, I just want to say, I don't know anyone as good as you as far as embracing like changes and what's like, you're just so fun and moldable. I know you have stuff coming up, but it's just, it's incredible to watch how handle life.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, sometimes it's like, I have such like a higher perspective and it's like balancing that with like the actual humanness. It's like learning to balance the two, because it's like
it's like you're my
perspective, but then you actually have to still be tangible about the human body, about what's going on there, to learn the tools to integrate them too. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. And talking to you too, like I grew up in the 80s and 90s and went like, I mean, and I have other young friends now, kind of old souls that I befriended in my 40s and they're in their 20s, because they were talking kind of this language, and I really resonated with that. But back in those early days, we didn't talk about stuff like this. Just being at this different realm and being able to look at things in different ways has opened up like just a whole new thing. Back then, it was for me 8 years of therapy and many, many years of Tony Robbins courses and seminars, and that was the way of doing things back then. And which was perfect, because that's what we knew then, right? It brought me to a certain space. But now I realize why at the end of those week-long heavy duty intense seminars with Tony Robbins, I would feel more lost coming home. It's because we would have written this massive vision board and I'm like, that doesn't feel real to me. Like on the inside, we're pumping it up. We're pumping it up saying, yeah. But it wasn't on the inside. And the difference now is I know now what was happening. It was on the surface level, but inside, whether it was my little kid inside, that was just like, oh my God, this isn't real. There is a part of me that couldn't, at the time, it was too much for that time. Like it was just too, and that was the way we did it back then, like the pump up. So now, back to your question about what happens when I trigger, well, even last week, because I'm doing a 30-day reset now, I never do this, still in my 50s. I never take a picture with a bathing suit on. It's just a trigger for me. Or I never get on scales. I still don't do that. And then I decided to do it. And I got Ollie to take some pictures because it's the start of a 30-day reset that you and I have done. And I said, put it in your camera. And then, but it actually... it was in he used my camera. Of course I looked and it shot me, total, massive trigger. I knew I was on the verge of, like, I felt this massive well of emotions, and I started acting very childish to my partner, like from the stuff I was saying, the same triggers from years ago, came up to the office, allowed a lot of emotion, tears out, called a friend, another coach. But I left a message with her. I didn't call, like I left a voice message and just spoke it all out to her. I says, this is what's happening right now. This is what's going on. Blah, blah, blah. And so then I was able to regulate a lot quicker. And so I still really fully felt the whole trigger, like I was 15, 20 years ago in that trigger. But the difference is I didn't identify with it. I did for a moment. I did. And it threw the emotions up and the emotions of I'm out of control. What just happened? How could this be? How could this be?
Mm-hmm.
It took me down a dark road. And then I just shared that all, spoke it all, cried it out with her. Because I believe it's important with another person.
Mm-hmm.
For me, anyhow. There's other ways, but that's one way is in the moment, catching it and self. What I did is self-compassion more.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is going out in nature and running and, you know, that's what I always do. It's not different, but yeah. And sometimes writing it down is not enough. I have to move it because it's very real in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's just an example of how, what I'll do different today than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
Before it would just take longer to really, and that's the thing about life is we're here, like it's going to be an ongoing thing with new discoveries and new, and it's never going to be like I've got it.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, it is going to be I've got it with all of the parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so another thing trigger that in the course we're doing in my inner child stuff is being triggered a lot of those social fears I had of it as a kid. And the fears come up like very real, like I felt in primary school,
mm-hmm.
In this moment now. And so it's very discombobulating in the
yeah.
moment. So when those are there, it's the same thing. Meeting with people and processing them in whatever way. Sometimes I know how to somatically move stuff through more now, whereas I didn't before.
Mm-hmm.
Move my body and feel the energy and move it. A few screams, holding myself, talking to myself as a kid, the mirroring,
mm-hmm.
different things now. And it's more, I'm learning not to react so big to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kicker.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
I think is yeah. How can I react differently when there is a trigger? Can I just still kind of stay there in the seat of the soul as much as I can and watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Not easy, but
Yeah. I know we were talking about this kind of before the episode, but about like how sometimes when we're in those triggers, and for those people who maybe don't know as much about like triggers and what they are, like our mind doesn't know the difference between what happened in the past and what happened in the present. So when these things come up, it literally feels like that is happening when in reality, it was just something in our external environment that triggered something from the past. And that's why this deeper healing with the childhood healing, like Carrie was talking about, is so important, because it really helps us to go back to those core memories and heal from that place, which then heals it all the way up into her present moment. So then the triggers will start decreasing over time so that we can not be so triggered and reactive and thinking that like just these big emotional kind of reactions. But I love how you just shared about like you really do have to feel to heal and allowing yourself to really feel. Because I know for so long in my life, I would have triggers come up without knowing it, like even just somebody cutting me off, you know, you get angry, but then you're like ruminating on it for like hours or something your partner would say or somebody this, and your mind's just like ruminating on it, right? And it's making that story real over and over and over again for days and days and days and weeks and weeks and weeks, and then eventually you're believing it that that's like literally your reality, right? So that like
believing it's reality, that's
yeah. Whereas now it's like being able to see it as like, oh, well, no, that was just a trigger from something in my past. How can I be curious to explore what that was? And like how you shared about like diving into being able to like talk about it. Cause as we talk about it, like it definitely brings more out where you're learning and you're just like, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, like that, like more just comes out. It's like pulling something out of you where eventually you'll slowly start healing it.
Yeah. And sometimes I notice too, sometimes also in the talking about it, I'm still hiding it. it depends. Like if it's with a big group of people,
for sure,
whatever, I'll talk, but then the old mechanisms can come up.
Yeah.
And it's also having grace with myself about that too.
Mm-hmm.
That on the journey and celebrating the steps forward.
Yeah.
Because if I'm always like, you did it again. Oh, you closed off again. Then we have to have that lightness about it too, because I think that's what keeps us in that loop of these repeated patterns.
Mm-hmm.
I think triggers come up to say, hello, I'm back again.
For sure.
Let's
Yeah.
see if we can look at this in a different way now.
Yeah.
So I can release it instead deeper. Of repeating.
Yeah.
And if I'm hard on myself about stuff, then it just will go even deeper and it'll just repeat. It repeat. But yeah, like I know this discussion is about everything, and it's about adventure and the mountains. If I can link it, when I see people come to the mountains, whether it's one-on-one or in a group, there's a natural journey unfolding for each person of self-discovery. Of in their own journey. And some sure are just coming for the fun and the social. Other people are there for, sometimes they don't know why they're there. They're just supposed to be there, right? Mm-hmm. And then the mountain shows them, or being on an adventure shows them what they need to know, right? Mm-hmm. Shows them a different part of themselves. And you're going to be triggered. Regardless who you are, all of it, everybody in some way on every tour is triggered. Some have high triggers, some have little triggers, but it's a place where you're going to be triggered because you're challenged physically and mentally. Maybe you haven't had a couple of nights good sleep. You're jet lagged. You have fear of heights where you didn't think you have fear of heights.
Yeah.
All of it comes up. So it's a perfect grounding for healing it's a perfect healing ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And nature just has like this like energy to it. Like it's such a high vibration that I feel like I know when I'm out in it. It's interesting. I remember when, as you were saying that, it being triggered while on a hike, I remember being out in Alberta and I was doing this amazing hike out there and I'm like going up and I'm like halfway up and I'm like, why the fuck did I decide to go on this long of a hike? I'm just so like irritated at myself. But then I was like, cause I was so tired and I didn't want to slow down. Like I wanted to stay at a certain pace. And it's so interesting because I would like have this like looking back, I'm like, why didn't you just slow down and take a little break? You know, it's so funny. And I was by myself too. So it's like, they're kind of going through this, but I had to get to the top. You know, like I didn't want to like not get to the top because I had already started this hike, but the stuff that was coming up internally as I was moving through it, like I was just hiking through the things, trying to go as fast as I can to get to the very top so that I could then rest and then go back down. And it's so silly, like even now, like thinking about it, but it's like the things that come up and like, I think even like looking back on these experiences, but doing them in a group, like I can imagine would just be so amazing.
Yeah, and you're sharing it with each other after each day experience. You're sharing what come up, what happened. And one girl this year in the Swiss Alps, she came and her challenge and discovery was, she had a fear of heights and she said she wasn't sure if she's going to be able to complete something. I said, this is for you to decide, right? Because there's options there. And the biggest thing for her, was that on part of our trip, she hiked to a section and she decided not to go further. So for her, that was her biggest win of the whole week.
Amazing.
Because she had been on a hike before where she went past where she wanted to, was pressure of other people. And this time she decided to listen to her own guidance.
Yeah.
And it's not about hitting the peak. Like maybe for some people it is, but it's not. So for her, this was a huge win for her own self journey to choose not to and not feel guilty and feel good about it.
Yeah. And everybody's internal thing is so different.
What's that?
And everybody's internal thing, like everybody's, it's going to be so different, which is so cool because it's the same terrain, same physical terrain, but everybody's experience of what's coming up for them is so different.
Yeah. And there were so many, I mean, even on, I was going to mention Kilimanjaro too. Going over there, I was having some also marital issues. So there was the little bit of the emotional stuff. And it was a group with 16 people. And that challenges me because I don't like going with big groups. I like leading the groups. So I don't like to be, I like to do my own thing. So that was a challenge. Also, just being with the people, the different personalities was more, much more of a challenge than the mountain to me. And yeah, the cold and the last day climbing up 6 hours of minus 20, freezing. But it's like the mountain has so much more than just the mountain climb. But in doing that climb, that Kilimanjaro climb, and completing that with a group of people, it's amazing. The connections you make is like, there were people I stayed connected with there that I wasn't really connected during the trip, but afterwards, for years and years afterwards, it allows you to connect deeper to people because you're raw and vulnerable. It's in an environment which you are raw and vulnerable, and yeah, you're challenged. I believe everyone needs to get out of their comfort zone. And whether that's on Kilimanjaro, whether that's a base camp, whether that's coming to the Alps, whatever it is, I think we're meant to do those challenges. Everybody, like if they physically can. But also people that you don't think physically can have showed us that you can do incredible things, because it's just adds to your life like no other.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that I kind of just took out of what everything that you just shared was like, and everything that the whole conversation has really been about is just our own self-awareness of like understanding what our own fears are and like where we're holding ourselves back, and then pushing ourselves out of that comfort zone to go try something new that's going to push those boundaries. Because it really is when we allow ourselves to push those boundaries, like that's really where we have the biggest growth. And it may feel uncomfortable in our bodies when all of these big emotions come up, but like once you move through them and you get to that other side, like there's literally nothing more liberating from it. And then it is really a healing journey when you go through that, because even me looking back at me climbing a couple of years ago up that hill, I'm like, that was so silly. I would never do that again. You know? So if I was to do that again and those same things started coming up, I would show up completely differently. And that's really like the growth of everything, is really just having that self-awareness, pushing ourselves through the experience so that then we can then have that time to self-reflect and go through it and shift and change and transform. So that next time we go to live life, like we go to do that same thing, it's completely different and we get a completely different experience. And then a new thing comes up that we then get to then work through. It's like, it's so cool when you can kind of see life like that. And it's like those challenges, nothing wrong with us for having these big challenges come up. You know, like I think for a long time, I believed that like failure or these challenges, like they weren't supposed to happen. And if they were happening, that there was something wrong with what I was doing. Whereas in reality, that is life, right?
Yes. That's a key point. When there's challenges, or whether it's emotional, or, you know, something's triggering you out there, it makes us think that there's something wrong. Like there's something really wrong. Right. But that's also, I think, there to get our attention, you know, to look at things a little bit differently, to go to that doorway. It's the doorway to something bigger. So I think if you're getting the pull to go somewhere, or the pull to do something different, and to go somewhere and do that thing. Like, truly, those aren't things to wait on.
Yeah. And I think there's a tendency too of like hyper fixating on the problem and trying to find a solution, but you're never going to find a solution when you're hyper fixating on the problems. Yeah. It's like you really need to get outside of it to have that new perspective and like
Oh,
I
totally.
find for me personally, like getting outside and in nature literally just shifts me into something completely different, where I can look at the exact same situation and have like a billion different solutions to it than if I was to just sit here like ruminating on the problem, thinking I have to fix it. When if you just release it and let it go, and then just allow yourself to go out and about and just find that place where you're like peaceful and enjoying and present, and then you reapproach that same thing, then it like completely shifts like
Because you're
everything.
simplifying. You're
Yeah.
simplifying. You have
Totally.
to simplify. You have to live simpler. Look at a tree. Look at how a tree responds. Right? I mean, kind of flows with the weather. Sometimes it gets knocked down, but in most cases, it's kind of just flowing back and forth. And I think it, also the animals, when you're with the animals, it just gives an automatic different perspective
Yeah.
on life, you know?
For sure, yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, so much juice.
I know, right? I know we could chat forever. Is there anything that you would like to share kind of before we close it off, of any advice that you would give to somebody who's maybe kind of feeling this call that they want to have more adventure in their life? They're wanting to have kind of like that explorative, more curious, lighthearted spirit. But they're kind of like procrastinating on it, they're hesitating on it, and not really making it a priority right now in their life.
Huh. Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people. I think to do what, first of all, measure it. How important is it for you to make the shift? How important is it for you to find that lighthearted? If it's anywhere from 8 to 10 out of 10, then I don't think there's any question. You have to go and discover. Like, you have to, and I recommend removing yourself from where you are in some way. Even if you're a mother or father, in some way, something on your own, something where you can be with yourself as an individual and not in the dad role or mom role or teacher role or whatever role you're in. And just go create an adventure. And in whatever, just like you did in Finland. Right? Like, and just decide, because not making a decision is a decision too. So decide, it's not going to be you can't make a wrong decision, because if you go and you don't like it, well, you learned you didn't like it. You know what I mean? So it's I think you have to remove yourself from the wheel that you're on. Go somewhere else to get a different perspective, just what you explained. And then you're always gonna, it's a reset button. You're always gonna come back with something. Always. And sometimes that something you come back with is the key to a lot of things. If it's 3 months away, 1 week away, whatever it is, just the intention of doing that and just taking yourself and going to on an adventure, it is, that's the gift in itself. You're saying, hey, I'm worth it. You're saying, I'm taking this vessel seriously for more fun and adventure, because it'll sprinkle into every part of your life, every part. So that's what I'd say, is make a commitment to yourself and go on a journey. Go on the journey scared. Go on the journey. If you've never done a journey on your own, go on it scared. Ask for guidance on how to do it, and what to book and where to go. But definitely stepping out of the comfort zone. Definitely.
Yeah, beautiful. And then part two of that question. Any advice that you would give to somebody who's kind of in that the internal shadows of things, where they're kind of like ruminating on the stuff that's not going right in their life, and they're wanting that lightness, that curiosity to come back, where they're really feeling that sense of freedom? What would you suggest, or any advice
Well,
you
that, I mean, that's when I went, when I was in the internal shadows, that's when I did go to the base camp and stuff. But yeah, like, there's steps you can do towards that every single day just making it known that you're curious, asking the right questions, like every day when you wake up, what is one step in the direction of feeling lighter and feeling like my true self today? What can I do? Who can I call? How do I want to be today? So I think it's in the intention of even if it's 5 minutes in the morning, and just like, I like to say things out a lot. I say it out more, and I write sometimes, but I say it out.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Who do I want to be today? What do I want to give today? You know, what feelings do I want to have today? And just say it, feel it, and just little steps towards it. And like to change it now. But if that's happening a lot, a long period of time, and you haven't done anything adventurous in that sense of going away, I know some people maybe can't do that, let's say, then you can create your own adventure in where you are.
Totally, yeah.
In home, even if it's a one-day retreat to drive away to a special spot. Everyone has their special spot. And give yourself your own ceremony of shifting, of changing. Bring some paper, bring a candle. And then I think when you pay attention, then things begin to shift. Like, pay attention.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Intention is so powerful. And it seems so simple. Like, it seems so simple that we can literally just ask for what we want, and then we receive it. Actually, we're hosting an event tonight, actually, and we wanted to have six people. Well, we needed to have six people minimum in order to run the event. And as of yesterday, we had four people. So we were thinking of canceling the event. And I said to the spirit, to the universe, I said, if we were meant to run this event, we need six people in this event. And then literally it must have been like around the same time that I had said that we had another order come in. And then we had another one come in last night at 8:30. And so I was like, okay, we're meant to be running this event. You know, the people are meant to be receiving what's happening in this event. And if you had told me that a long time ago, that you could literally just ask for what you want, and as soon as you open, and I released the expectation of it, like, I was totally okay with canceling it or whatever. Like, that was the biggest
thing,
caring about the outcome, but just letting spirit guide it, where it's like, even if it was canceled, okay, we weren't meant to be doing it that day, and trusting the outcome that kind of unfolded. But like, setting an intention is so powerful, and just being able to release the control, like my control over what was happening, and just allow life to create what was there, and like me kind of co-creating with it. But I love that you said that, because intention really is that powerful to be able to help us to get to where we want to go.
Yeah. But sometimes when we're feeling all over the place, it's hard to kind of think of an intention.
For sure.
But it's still worth it. It's still, you know, just to stop for a second. Hey.
Yeah.
Just ask a good question.
Yeah. And that's where getting out into nature, even if it's just for a quick little walk, can help so much. Where it's
always,
just
always. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just
oh,
like
yeah.
Lightens things. And then all of a sudden there's clarity there of like what you actually want. So that's amazing. Thank you so much, Carrie, for coming on here and sharing your story. And I'm so proud of you for moving through everything, and just you're so inspirational with kind of everything that you do, and you're mountain stuff. I can't wait to be climbing in a mountain with you at some point eventually.
And well, darling, you got a mountain. You got a mountain right now.
I know, I have a mountain. Yeah. And I can't wait to bring her on the mountain with me. I'm actually so excited for that.
Wow.
To have her and to be able to bring her, especially now that the weather here is getting nice. So just get her kind of into.
I'm excited for your next journey. I'm excited for your journey.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. And thank you to everybody who's listening. We'd love to hear your feedback as to what you took out of this episode. If you want to leave it in the comments. And Carrie, how is it that people can connect with you? What's the best way for people to connect with you?
They can connect through Instagram, Facebook. And it's just Carrie Gregson, KarrieGregson.
Beautiful.
Website, alpenbox.com. double X on the album box. I think those are the best ways.
Perfect. I will put those down in the description as well of this, whether you're listening to it on the podcast or over on YouTube. And Carrie has incredible adventure retreats that she's hosting all through Europe this year. So if you want to go on them, definitely go check out her website and go for it. Go on that adventure. And yeah, super, super excited.
Swiss Alps and Dolomites. There's spots left on those two tours, Swiss Alps and the Dolomites. Hiking yoga. So if that sounds like something up your alley, message me.
Yes, yes, yes. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Carrie. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay. Well, ciao, everybody. Thank you for being here with us. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.